up, speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
Hello, 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 and welcome back here to CJSF 90.1 FM. My name is Vivienne, and this is Speak Up here on this lovely Tuesday morning. And yeah, welcome back here. Hope you had a good start into the week. And today I have a special guest on air. It's her first time. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, I'm Anna. Hi, everyone listening. Pretty exciting to be for the first time here.
Yeah, she's our new intern from Austria and has been here for over 1 month, right?
I think it's exactly 1 month today.
So how was Canada so far, and how was CJSF so far for you?
It's been interesting, definitely. I didn't really know what I was expecting going into all of this, but I definitely learned a lot in the month I've been here. I did so many different things, like PR stuff, social media, interviews, which have been so, so fun so far. And it's also like a great opportunity to have, because I've interviewed two very, very great women here who are very involved in the sport at the university. And I would have never gotten this opportunity if I wouldn't be here at CJSF. So that's definitely great.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And this is what we're going to hear soon. So Anna did an interview with the volleyball coach Gina Smith. And I'm very excited for that one to play. But first of all, I want to start with two songs. One song I recently found, and it's such a great song. It gives me a good mood. And afterwards, we will hear the song that Anna chose to play for us on air. And then she will introduce a little bit into the topic of women in sports, because we kind of started a series about women in sports. I interviewed a basketball player or some basketball players last December, and she started to interview the soccer assistant coach, Anna Piccarelli, about women in soccer as well. And she did a great job with that. And yes, definitely. And I'm very excited to hear about women in volleyball, because I'm not really involved into volleyball. Have you ever played volleyball before?
I've actually never played. I wasn't really into it, but Gina Schmidt is just such an interesting personality. It was so great to do the interview. And although I've not really been into volleyball before, it was so great to hear her insights and all of this. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited for that one. But first of all, I want to start with Give Myself to You by The Drax. And afterwards, we'll be here Sports Coach with Stretching. Kind of fits to the topic, by the way. So please enjoy on this Tuesday morning here on CJSF. Give Myself to You, The Drax.
Thank you. gold was your love. You made me feel like this was forever. Instead, I ended up not being enough, not being enough. Oh, so many times we'd be together. My losses, then I give myself to you. Like a new battleship in open war, I'd be going down with you. I'd rather cut my losses than I give myself to you. You left me in pieces with memories, but you rather cut my losses than I give myself to you.
Bird note. It's a cool morning in the ranch country of the West. A black-billed magpie cuts a dash amidst the open habitat. Flying parallel to the road with deliberate wing beats, it flashes its black and white wings like a semaphore, its tail fluttering behind, the plumes longer than its body. The March trees are still bare. The magpie's raspy call is bold as brass. Like its nest, a rough, bulky sphere of sticks nearly 3 feet across, with entrance ports on the sides, sitting in plain view. Black-billed magpies are omnivorous, like their close relations, the jays and crows. They'll even hitch a ride on a steer to pluck ticks from its hide, which goes some way to explaining why magpies are such survivors. The bison herds they once depended upon are greatly diminished. And although they've had a long history of run-ins with ranchers, they've persisted. And when the morning light catches one, perching just right, its wings and tail shimmer with iridescent blue and green. For Bird Note, I'm Michael Stein.
And here we are, right? Back after the little bird note I just played for you. My name is Vivian, and today Anna, our new intern from Austria, is on air too, and we will talk about what is going on with women in sports, our own experience, and we'll also play an interview that Anna did last week with the volleyball coach Gina Schmidt. And before we're going to start right into this very important topic, also very, very good because tomorrow is International Women's Day, for if you don't know what is happening tomorrow, and actually the sub building will be closed and there's so much stuff going on. So it's actually a very good topic that we have for today. So there's so much going on for this week for International Women's Day. So be aware of that. And that's why I love talking about women in sports for today, because it's such an important topic and actually fits really well into the week of International Women's Day and also the month of women's history. And if you want to hear more information about what's going on International Women's Day and hear women's voice, then you should definitely tune in tomorrow from 10 to 11 a.m. Intravenous, hosted by me, myself and I. And I'm excited for this one because I have two special interview guests, and we will talk about what was going on for International Women's Day and what happened on Sunday, because there was an SFU march for women and for International Women's Day. So very, very important. But before we're going to jump right into this topic, I want to tell you a little bit about what is going on with the weather for this week. So today, actually, it's supposed to be sunny and a little bit cloudy. I actually saw the sun on my way up here on the Burnaby Mountain. So it's going to continue to be around 6 to 8 degrees and a little bit windy, no rain, actually, which I'm very, very glad about because I don't like rain. And yeah, it's going to be a steady temperature. And then for the next week, so tomorrow we will have sun. And I don't know what's going on here right now, but we will have some sun, some clouds, and 8 degrees in general, and a little bit of rain. Then on Tuesday, so March 9th, we will have a mix of sun and clouds. On Friday, light rain. And on the weekend, also light rain and clouds, a little bit of wind. Lowest temperature will be 1 degree and highest temperature 7. And then Monday, we will have even more rain, more clouds, and no sun, unfortunately. And next Tuesday, we will have some clouds and some rain as well, which I'm not surprised about because we are in Vancouver and rain is almost every day. So I'm glad that we will have some sun today and tomorrow. And yeah, that we can maybe can use the opportunity to go a little bit outside and use the little sun to enjoy the weather outside. Do you have any plans for today to go outside, Anna?
I don't know. Probably not. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, perfect. I don't know. the weather has been pretty crazy.
Yeah.
The past month I've been here.
So. Yeah, that's true. And you also went to Whistler, right? It's pretty cold up there.
I went to Whistler. It was cold. I was used to it coming from Austria, mm-hmm. So it wasn't too bad, but it was snowing the whole day, which was kind of a crazy experience.
Yeah, when you live in Vancouver, then you have to kind of get used to rain and snow, especially when you work here on the SFU in Burnaby, on the Burnaby Mountain, because we will have snow almost like the whole winter. And since I've been here, I've been here since November. And if you don't know me, hi, I'm Vivian and I'm from Germany as well. So I'm not used to mountains and snow, but when I came here, it kind of like hit me in the face. I had no experience with snow because where I live in Germany, we don't even have mountains. So it kind of surprised me. And yeah, it was, I had to get used to it, but now I don't really care if there's snow outside or not. So I know now how to handle snow. But yeah, anyways, we will not have snow in the next week. So that's okay. That's good. I mean, you can still use your umbrella if you are Canadian and live in Vancouver. An umbrella is an essential thing in your pocket. So yeah. We should definitely be aware of that. But yeah, I kind of have to use the sun for today and for tomorrow. But now I want to start right into the interview Anna did with the volleyball coach, Gina Smith. And you want to tell me a little bit more about it and how it went and how did you came up with the idea of interviewing the volleyball coach from the SFU team?
So it was definitely a great experience. I really enjoyed it. She's been so successful in her past career, which is really amazing to listen to her stories and how everything went on in her career. She played for the Canadian national team, actually, which is so, so impressive. I was so surprised when she told me. And she's obviously the coach now of the volleyball team here at SFU. And she just had some great stories, some great insights I didn't know about teaching and playing as a woman in sport, which was very, very interesting. Yeah, it was a great interview all in all and got some interesting insights, I would say.
Yes, definitely. And I'm excited for it to hear about the details and how it feels to be a woman in the volleyball field. And we're going to jump right into the interview that Anna did with the volleyball coach, Gina Smith. So please enjoy now the interview. Let's go.
I'd say we start right away.
Okay.
I would start with just tell the listeners a bit about yourself. What do you do on campus and who are you?
Well, my name's Gina Schmidt. I am the head women's volleyball coach here at SFU. We are part of the NCAA and I have been at SFU and with the Red Leafs for 10 years, so since 2013. Before that, I was an assistant coach at the University of Montana. And before that, I was a player on the Canadian national team and went to university also down in the NCAA, Oregon State.
That's impressive. An impressive career. It sounds like a dream job you have here, teaching the young girls. Is there something that is kind of bothering you at the job, or is it just fulfilling as a whole?
No, it really is, I, like you said, a dream job for me in terms of being able to be at the university level, coaching dedicated, hardworking athletes and getting to compete in the NCAA and at a time when an age group that where there's a lot of, you can have a lot of influence in players' lives. And of course, but in any job or any situation in a big institution, there are always things that can be frustrating at times or challenges. But I think everybody faces those in their job, so you take the good with the bad. But I do have a great job and love it every day.
That's great to hear. What does it mean to you personally to be so involved in the sports world and especially to be a woman in sports?
Yeah, I've grown up around athletics. I grew up playing many sports, so the fact that now I can do that as a job is great. And like I mentioned, getting to be a part of our athletes' lives and to watch the the women and student athletes in our program develop in their time at SFU, from their first year till when they graduate. You see a lot of growth, and that's really fulfilling in terms of that. And, you know, I guess I've always been a woman in sports, but I never have thought of myself as anything other than an athlete, right? So, and maybe I've been lucky. I think that might have been different for people that grew up, you know, 40, 50 years prior, where there was maybe a lot more barriers. But from my experience, I have been very fortunate in terms of my path and getting so many opportunities, and then to lead to a job where I still get to do that.
You talked about people who have been doing all these sports in the past, especially women, have had a lot of barriers in a way. Do you think those barriers remain the same nowadays as well as they did years ago? Or do you think they face different challenges nowadays than they did years ago?
I certainly think there's still challenges, but there's maybe different ones. When you look back to the, you know, 60s and 70s, in the 60s there wasn't a volleyball team here, so that wasn't an option for people to do. Now there are, we have 17 varsity sports. So there's continues to be challenges, but some different ones in terms of accessibility. The women's sport, like the availability of sports, has just continued to grow. But say I'm lucky in a sport like volleyball that has always been an opportunity for me to pursue. But for example, when I was young, I also was interested in playing ice hockey, and there weren't any women's ice hockey teams in my town. So the only option was to either play with boys or to, I did figure skating and then I did ringette, which some people may be familiar with, but playing girls hockey wasn't an option until I was in high school, when there was finally one single women's hockey team that I joined, and everybody else was like in their 20s and 30s and I was 16. So that was a barrier in that particular sport. And now, since it's become an Olympic sport, now you see women's hockey teams everywhere. If there's a woman who wants to play football, American football, that's definitely a barrier that they would face, or baseball. There aren't those professional leagues available for women, whereas in volleyball, which is the sport I chose, I had a pathway. So, yeah, it kind of maybe depends on the sport, but for sure there are still barriers, but there was a lot of headway that has been made since, you know, like I said, in the 50s and 60s.
Yeah, I think definitely it depends on which sport you want to play. And you said you felt supported throughout your career in volleyball. Is that right? Or have there been challenges in volleyball as well that you can remember?
I have been very fortunate, whether it be where I grew up, but I actually had more female coaches through my career than male coaches, growing up through junior high, high school, provincial teams, even in university. That is probably not the norm. And even then, when I got to BC, when I arrived, I was the only female post-secondary coach in BC out of the, you know, 12 or 13 universities. Now there's three of us. But if you look into Alberta, where I grew up, the four volleyball programs at one point, three of the four were coached by women. So again, my upbringing was maybe a little bit different, and I'm sure having those female role models definitely influenced maybe my path and career as well.
That's great to hear, actually, that you felt so supported. It's something that I hear very rarely when I talk with women about how their life has progressed in the sport, but it's great to hear, definitely. And now let's talk about how has the treatment and appreciation of the female volleyball players changed over the years. Have there been differences? Has it remained the same? What was like the path?
I think if you look now, and I'll talk maybe specifically about, you know, NCAA volleyball, you know, those top teams, like the final four this year was drawing, I don't even know the number, 18,000 people for the game. Programs like Nebraska, Wisconsin, they're averaging over 10,000 people a game in those. So those are big programs, and they're drawing the fans. So, you know, it's great to see. And even if you look at probably women's soccer and the national team, you know, they're filling stadiums to watch the national women's soccer team play. So there's these steps that certain sports have taken, and just the exposure has definitely shown, I guess, has increased the visibility, and also just even the profitability, where maybe marketers and business people are taking notice, where like, oh, we can actually make money in this, and this is a viable sport option. So years ago, there hasn't really been a professional volleyball league in the U.S. really ever, but now just in the past 4 or 5 years, there's been two different ones that are starting to get off the ground because people are seeing that, yeah, this actually is something that people will watch. And certainly that, you know, compared again to 40, 50 years ago, where it was just an up-and-coming sport, that has grown. And I think it will continue the more people support it and see the value in just the product that's put out there.
Yeah, it's great to see how sport has evolved throughout the years. Very, very great to see. And do you think that, let's say, in 10 years' time, there will be those significant changes, or will there be more changes or different changes, or where do you see the sport in, like, let's say 10 years?
You know, I hope that we can continue to evolve and increase the visibility and I would say the profitability, you know, because that's what will get people on TV and sponsors and all of that stuff. And I think you can see it. You see that in, like I said, women's tennis, you know, they'll fill stadiums. You see that increasing in women's soccer. And in women's volleyball, even though in the U.S. there's not a pro league, or in North America, in many other countries around the world, Brazil and over in Asia, Europe, there are pro leagues and they draw, they make money and they draw. And athletes can make six-figure, you know, a lot of money as female athletes in those leagues. So hopefully that will trickle over to North America. But, you know, here you're always going to be probably battling the big, probably four professional sports of, you know, NFL, Major League Baseball, you know, that on the men's side, where there are sometimes no female equivalent, like I said, with maybe the NFL. But I think there is a market for something like women's volleyball that has proven to be, you know, very fan friendly to those that are fans.
It's also great, I think, for young people to look up to those, to their role models, basically, in sport, and to see what they've become. It's great to see for young kids, because I think it can be discouraging sometimes as a young girl to hear all about, oh, how women are treated like badly in sports and how inequality is still a big thing. And I think it's great for young people to see how women can make a change in sports, definitely.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I think it's in all parts of life that there'll be. I don't know if you can ever get rid of inequality. It's something we want to pursue, but they'll always be. It's impossible to always be 100% equal. But I think we're trying to move the needle in that direction, and that's all we can do. And then there's things we can control and things we can't control. And so I think if we can focus on what we can do, then and you know, not put as much attention to the things we can't control.
It's actually also interesting that you said in volleyball you feel always supported, and you felt that you've been like on a similar level to men's volleyball. Has it always been the same? Was it always the case that you felt like you've been treated equally or paid equally or seen as equal as, let's say, men in volleyball?
It depends on maybe what context we're talking. On, for example, the national team, and in Canada in general, there's an Own the Podium program where the teams or programs that are more in a position to win a medal will get more funding from the government. And say in the last, you know, 10, 15 years, our men's national team has actually qualified for the Olympic Games, and our women's team has yet to, or since 1996 has not. So as a result of that, based on their results, the men do get more Own the Podium money from our government. So that is not equal, but it is based on results. So, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg? So it's not always equal, but from my own personal experience, I have never felt held back because I'm playing women's volleyball. For sure, overseas, professionally, the men typically do get some bigger contracts, but there are the top players and on the women's side are making also very good money. So I wouldn't say it's completely at par, but if you go back to NCAA volleyball, there are 900 NCAA women's volleyball teams and maybe 150 men's teams. So if you were to look at the top